We're going to continue our study today that we've been doing in the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we're going to pick up and start to look at and examine chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. Now in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 4, what we have here, looking at verses 3 to 21, we're going to see here, Paul talks about the attitude in Corinth toward apostles. The attitude in Corinth toward apostles. Following Paul and Apollos' work in Corinth, the congregation became puffed up and their attitude toward the apostles changed. They favored one apostle above another, and preachers who had come behind the apostles to the apostles themselves. So we're going to see that Paul dealt with their attitude here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verses 3 to 21. First of all, the Corinthians, they had a judgmental attitude. A judgmental attitude. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And verses 3 to 5, let's read those verses together. The Word of God says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God." The Corinthians had judged Paul either as better or worse than the other men whom they were following. Paul said that it's a small thing to be judged of man's judgment. However, many preachers are much more worried about how others judge them than they are about how the Lord will judge them. Thus, as a result, they try to impress men. Paul tells us that he didn't even judge himself, but that's because he could find nothing to judge. And when he said, "For I know nothing by myself," he was saying that his conscience was clear. Look in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, the statement that Paul makes here. The Word of God says in Acts 23, 1, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." However, Paul didn't justify himself, knowing that he must give account of himself to the Lord. Now, in Romans 14, chapter 14, verses 10 to 12, Paul says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not, thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." At the time of the Lord's judgment, two things will be judged that the Corinthians couldn't judge. The Lord, we're told there, will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. That is, he will judge things that men cannot see. In John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And also, the Lord will make manifest the counsels of the heart. That is, he will also judge the motives behind the things that were done. When the hidden things are for the Lord, and when the motive is to please God, then and only then shall every man have praise of God. You see, my dear listeners, the praise of God is far greater than the praise of men. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 43, the Word of God says, speaking about the religious crowd of Jesus' day, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And you got to ask yourself, amen, what do you want? The praise of God or the praise of men? The praise of God is far greater. That's all that matters. Amen. Did you do it God's way? Not man's way. Did you do it to please God? Amen. To get his praise? Or did you do it to be praised by other men? Amen. Were you a so-called religious politician? There's many of them today in our churches. Again, we're looking at the attitude in Corinth towards the apostles. So we see, first of all, they had a judgmental attitude. The second thing about their attitude was they had a haughty attitude. A haughty attitude. Let's look in 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 4, and read together verses 6 through 8. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, you have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that ye did reign, and that we also might reign with you." You see, the Corinthians, they were puffed up. Amen. They were puffed up one against another. Paul wanted them to realize that they were not better than each other. According to verse 7 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, they were different because God made them different one for another. And whatever they had, God had given them. Therefore, they had no room to glory. And when Paul wrote, "In these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself in Apollos for your sakes, that we might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written." Here is what Paul, he was saying, amen. Paul and Apollos were ministers of Christ, amen. These things in a figure are that Paul compared his ministry to a planter and Apollos' ministry to a waterer. He said as such, "Neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth," in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, the Corinthians were not to think of men above that which is written. Amen. In other words, I don't think of myself as more than a planterer, and Apollos doesn't think of himself as more than a waterer. We don't think of ourselves as better than others, as one better than the other. That's what Paul was saying. Therefore, don't think of yourself as better than others or as better than each other just because you do something different than others do. This applies to all of us today. Amen. Don't be puffed up over what you do. Anything that you do for the Lord has been given to you by the Lord. Amen. We're all the same. We're all in it together. Amen. God uses each and every one of us in a specific way, and one is not better than the others. Now, the Corinthians had become so puffed up that they thought of themselves as full, rich, and reigning as kings. They sound like the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Of course, they will one day, the Corinthians, they will reign one day during the millennial reign of Christ, and Paul was ready to reign with them. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, Revelation 1, 6, the word of God says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then also in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 10, Revelation 5, 10, the word of God says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Now, again, we're looking at the attitude in Corinth towards the apostles. We see they had a judgmental attitude. They had a haughty attitude. Number three, they had a disdainful attitude, Let's look in 1 Corinthians again, chapter number 9. Through 13, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul said, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. The attitude of the Corinthians was similar to the world's attitude. They looked down on the apostles. Paul said they were last, talking about the apostles, appointed to death, a spectacle, fools. Now, the Corinthians thought of themselves as wise by comparison. Paul said the apostles, they were weak. And the Corinthians thought of themselves as strong by comparison. Paul said the apostles, they were despised. The Corinthians thought of themselves as honorable by comparison. Paul said the apostles, they were hungry, thirsty, naked. They were buffeted. They were homeless. They were self-supporting. They were reviled, yet they blessed those that reviled them. They were persecuted, yet they suffered it. They were defamed, yet they prayed for those who defamed them. They were the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things. Amen. So far as we're looking at the attitude in Corinth towards the apostles, we see that they had a judgmental attitude toward the apostles. They had a haughty attitude toward the apostles. They had a disdainful attitude toward the apostles. And then they had an unfaithful attitude. They had an unfaithful attitude towards the apostles. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 14 through 17. The Word of God says this, "And I wrote not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So the Corinthians had an unfaithful attitude toward the apostles. Now, Paul said here that he didn't write all those things about the apostles to shame the Corinthians, but rather to warn them. That is, he warned them not to turn their backs on him after all that God had done for them through his ministry. He was the one who had begotten them through the gospel. As a result, he commanded them to be followers of me. It would have been easy for them to follow Paul. Amen. It wouldn't have been easy for them to follow Paul since he wasn't popular. But they owed him their loyalty for all that he had done for them. Therefore, he sent Timothy to remind them of his ways which be in Christ. These were the same principles he taught everywhere and in every church. In other words, he didn't come up with something special just for the Corinthians. Amen. Now, finally, we've seen so far several things, have we not, in the Corinthians' attitude towards the apostles. They had a judgmental attitude, number one. Number two, they had a haughty attitude. Number three, they had a disdainful attitude. Number four, they had an unfaithful attitude. And number five is they had a boastful attitude towards the apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, let's look together at verses 18, 19, and 20. The Word of God says this, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." So they had a boastful attitude, the Corinthians, toward the apostles. You see, some of the folks in Corinth didn't think Paul would come back to see them. But Paul assured them that he would come back if the Lord was willing, and he knew they wouldn't be puffed up if he was around. You see, he wasn't interested in their speech. He was interested in their power. And that power derived from the preaching of the cross. Amen. As he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the power derived from the preaching, the cross, and Christ crucified, as he told them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to 24, and the gospel. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Word of God says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Here it is. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So Paul says, "I'm not interested in your speech." Amen. "I'm interested in your power." And he said, "Your power is derived from preaching the cross, preaching Christ crucified, and preaching the gospel. That's where your power comes from." Not only that, that's how people get in to the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 21. Our last verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. The Word of God says, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?" Now, Paul was ready to deal with them either way, depending how they responded to his admonition. Amen. He would come with a rod, or he would come in meekness in love. But it all depended on how they would respond to his admonition. Amen. So, we as Christians today applies to us. There are a lot of churches out there. There are like the church of Corinth that have the same problems that the church of Corinth had. The church at Corinth, they were babes in Christ. It was a very fleshly, carnal church. We have a lot of them today, even within the Bible-believing circle. Amen. So we have to be careful about our attitude. Amen. We have to be careful about our attitude. We have to be careful not to have a judgmental attitude towards our pastor, those who are in authority in the church, and one another. Because remember, it's the Lord that's going to judge each and every one of us. And we all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, are we not? And that's where we're going to see, amen, where the rubber meets the road. Just exactly what you and I did for the Lord that made it at the judgment seat of Christ and that didn't get burnt up by fire, and what remains. We got to be careful not only not to have a judgmental attitude, but a haughty attitude. Be puffed up. Be puffed up about your abilities, the gifts that God has given you. Be puffed up about your church. I mean, I remember in time past, there was a pastor that basically said it was his church and his church alone in all the United States that had it right. Amen. That's a haughty attitude. That's a prideful attitude. Remember, pride is what caused the devil to fall from being the anointed cherub. Amen. And then we have to be careful about having a disdainful attitude. You know, looking down upon people, upon your pastor or those in the church, amen. And thinking more highly of yourself than you should of others. And then, again, we have to be careful about having an unfaithful attitude, as they did in Corinth. Amen. We have to be careful, as Paul warned them, not to turn their backs on him after all that God had done for them through his ministry. Amen. Be faithful to the man of God that God has put over you. And if he's faithfully week after week teaching and preaching the word of God, preaching the whole counsel of God, don't go after and follow, be unfaithful to that man of God and go follow someone on the internet or YouTube or whatever it is. Remember what he has done for you. As what Paul told the Corinthians to remember what he had done for the Corinthians. Not only that, they were very boastful. They had a boastful attitude. Amen. They thought that Paul wouldn't come back to see them. But he told them, I'm going to come back and I'm going to deal with you. And I'm going to see, I'm not interested in your speech, but in the power. Your power that's derived from the preaching of the cross and Christ crucified in the gospel, because that's the only thing that counts. That's how people get in to the kingdom of God. Amen. So here we have before us the church of Corinth. Amen. As Paul again dealt with them in this chapter on their attitudes toward the apostles. These folks were very fickle. Paul leaves, Apollos leaves, some others come in, and now they forget everything that Paul and Apollos taught them, amen, and they go follow someone else that may not be preaching the truth, that may be leading them astray, amen. This applies to all of us today. This is still applicable to us today, amen. What was going on in the church of Corinth and all the problems they had and all that Paul had to deal with them, amen. He had been there. He spent, I think it was 18 months with them and trained them and taught them the word of God. And what do? All of a sudden, because he's not there, they turn their backs on him and they begin following someone else who's trying to lead them astray. It reminds me of when Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God, and he was gone for 40 days, how the Israelites quickly forgot how God had used Moses to deliver them from the Egyptians and cross that Red Sea. And what did they do? Oh, Aaron, make us a God that we can follow. Aaron should have known better. Amen. He was Moses' brother and right-hand man. What did he do? He did what the people wanted and created a false god. Well, we've run out of time here on the pastor's study. We're going to continue next week our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I pray you'll join me then. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for spending time with me today. Till we meet again on the pastor's study, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.